Psalm 100. Thank you, Alison. If you'd like to pop the psalm up on the screen there. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. I'm on a bit of a continuing from time to time message at the moment on gratitude. Pastor Dad's preached on gratitude. Before that, I opened it up with a gratitude, and I'm going to continue until I feel I've exhausted the inspiration, because I'm beginning to see more and more how important an attitude of gratitude is to our own personal spiritual well-being, our own physical health, the good of the church, and the taking of the gospel. And so it's great to look at this in some greater depth, and there's a lot in this psalm for us. Last time, which is going back some weeks now, I came from the angle of the attitude of gratitude, the attitude being the level we're on. We're in right alignment in life, the attitude, like a plane has got an even attitude when it's flying. A matter of perspective, how we see things. Is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Some people are half empty people. Oh, look, there's only half there. Other people say, oh, it's half full. This is great. As Christians, the glass is more than half full, my friends. Spiritually speaking, it's full, and we live in the light of the kingdom to come right now. It's not like we're waiting. We get a measure by faith now. So it's a matter of perspective, and you can listen back if you didn't get that, and then it's a matter of not only perspective, but it's a matter of how we see those things around us, a matter an attitude of gratitude, a matter of passion. That's right. That's what I spoke about, that Paul, he thanked God for the saints, but he's always passionately wanting to be with them. Gratitude and passion go together, you know? What we're grateful for, we'll be passionate about. And what we're passionate about, we'll be so thankful for, because it makes other things fade into the distant horizon, the things that really matter. Amen? But today I want to take a slightly different angle from the psalm on gratitude, which I've called Gratitude Continued, is my message. It's concerning the highest place that we attain to, and how gratitude and a desire to be thankful deep within our hearts will actually lift us and elevate us into another place as we rightfully should find fitting as human beings. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'll just anoint these lips. You'll help us, Lord, to hear something of your word today contained within this psalm that will bless, that will strengthen us, that will instruct us and change our hearts. By your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me just walk through the psalm a little bit to set the scene. First of all, there is a goal here, is the highest place. You know, whatever we attain to in life, the highest place is the presence of God. That's the best place. And that's our great hope, isn't it, to be in his presence forever. But even in life today, we are looking to live in the light of the kingdom to come. We are people of the Spirit in this church. The Holy Spirit is God with us. He's alive and well. And the Spirit of God is a revelation, if you like, of God Almighty to us, not just a vapor or a power vaguely at work amongst us, but the very presence of God, because he's the third person, is he not, of the Trinity. And so the greatest place for us to come to in life, whatever we're doing, whatever the trials of life may be, and the ups of life might be, is to be in his presence and to know his goodness in his presence. And so that's what this psalm begins to do. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. And we get down to verse 4, and it's an instruction or a declaration, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Enter his gates. Gates are entryways, are they not? You know, Jesus said, well, I am the door, so we can't go in through another gate. We can't hop over the fence. We have to go in through the door who is Jesus. And the Old Testament tabernacle had an entry point, the gate of the sheepfold, if you like. All the language of Scripture speaks of this, but there's one way in only, and that's the way of Jesus, the narrow way. There's only one door. Might look like a lot of doors and a low fence, but the way is narrow, and it's through the place of Jesus. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, because we want to be in the presence of God. It's not just the Old Testament tabernacle now, like a physical tent with all its courts and what have you. It's actually in our hearts, is it not? It's God's willingness for us to enter into fellowship with him. And the way in, my friends, is a narrow way. It's called, the gateway of thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. So it's not like, you know, with our second youngest grandchild, Phoebe. She's been taught to be grateful. In other words, to say thank you. And to say please. You know, that's where we start with kids. And so we say, every time we drop her back on Wednesdays to her mama, she says, oh, say thank you to grandma and grandpa. Oh, thank you, grandma and grandpa. Or say please if she wants I want more cheese. No, Phoebes. Please may I have some more cheese. Please. So these words become like almost by conditioning. She knows if she says the right word, she gets the right result, right? Even dogs and cats do that. My wife and I met training a rat to do likewise in university. Conditioning. Well, we're more than an animal. We're human beings. Never fall for the trap that we're just an advanced form of some animal species. This is not how it works. We're unique, are we not? And so this is something very important to us. There's a way in through thanksgiving, but it's not just a word, a magic word. You know, we should say that to the kids, what's the magic word? You know, please. Kind of like it gets the result, but was it in the heart? Phoebe's only 2.5. I haven't got to ask you, is it in your heart, Phoebe? We'll get to that, eh, Dads? But the thing is, it's an attitude that embedded in us opens a way into God's presence and the experience of his goodness. You know, I pointed out last time that thanksgiving and an attitude of gratitude is the antidote to dissatisfaction. It's very hard to be dissatisfied with what you give thanks for. And so we need to learn to be grateful if every day we live. Get to my age, every day is a great day, isn't it, Jenny? We think, well, this is amazing. Here I am again today. And my wife's still there too. But you see, gratitude is an amazing thing because we're blessed people. People complain about the economy in New Zealand and that. Go and live in some other places I've been and see how you like it. We're blessed. We should be thankful. We should be grateful for a great land. But see, so many complainers in society today, so many people complaining about each other, complaining about this, complaining about the other thing. And maybe some of the complaints are legitimate, but it will never get you into the presence of God. Can I have an amen? Amen. We have to ask the Lord to invest in us a spirit of gratitude, if nothing else, because he is good. And so it's the highest place we want to enter into. These gates are entry points. And so David understood that. The psalmist understood that. And because they were Old Testament people. They had the tabernacle of Moses, you know, and then the temple. But the tabernacle, the way into the holiest place, which is another story for another time, how the tabernacle, that's a dwelling place that means, illustrates for us our way to Jesus now, or the way into the presence. The way in to the very holiest place where God dwelt was through the curtain at the doorpost of which was the altar of incense. And incense, let your praise, let our praise be to you as incense. Incense always speaks of gratitude, of thanksgiving, of praise. It's always been that way, even in the natural tabernacle, it was the way in. And for us, it's still the way in. Gratitude. And we don't have to go somewhere for this. We just need to wake up and think, thank you, Lord. This is going to be a great day, not because everything's going right, but because you are here and I'm with you and you are with me and we've got a great thing to do today. Amen? We can share the goodness with all the people we meet along the way. The altar of incense. And so this takes me on to the thing I really want to say, and I hope I can say this well enough that it might become a revelation to someone here. It's not only the highest place we're looking for, the place of his presence, it's understanding who we are into a higher place of being. Who are we really? And so it says here in the scripture, for the Lord is good. Go back a little bit. Where am I? For he has made us, yes, and not we ourselves. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, my friends. He has made us and we are his people. Not just an ethnicity. We are an ethnicity called the church, called Christians. That's our highest understanding of who we are. But we're also his people. People are a very different kind of being than a species of other animal. I'm only saying this because we read it all the time. And so what we're seeing here is that thanksgiving is a unique feature of what it means to be human. You know, we had animals. We had a dog once when we lived in Fiji, the only dog I've ever owned. But we had cats along the way, pets, you know. And they'd come meowing away and scratching at the door if they wanted food. And we'd give them food and they'd eat it and they went away and they never said thank you. People can be like that. Always scratching away for something new and never saying thanks. Ever found any like that along the way? Huh? You get them on the bus. There you go. There you go. Now, Dad's is kind of, it sounds humorous, but actually this, to me, I grieve because this is a sign of how far we've gone. Because human beings are different from consumers. Our pet cat was a consumer, not a participator. Caught the occasional mouse, I guess that's worth something. Are you with me so far? We've got to think about this, my friends. It's not just being polite to say thank you. It's being human. And I don't mean just a word, you know, not just a word, because it's polite. It is polite. Of course it's polite. It's good to be polite. Better than being rude. It's an indication of the state of the heart. So the thank you has to be out of a heart of gratitude. You know, I have found the more that I'm thankful for people around me and I really thank the Lord for them, I find it very hard to be critical of them. Isn't that true? And to be honest, the more critical I am, I've found in my life past, the harder it is to give thanks. I rock on into church and I don't like the music. Or the people don't jump high enough. Or they shouldn't jump at all. I've been in them all. And so have you, some of you. As I said to some of the other day, it's not a matter of style. It's a matter of the presence of God. It's a matter of the communion of the saints who are showing forth the likeness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in divine unity. And I give thanks for that. I give thanks for Green Bay. I love Green Bay Church. We're part of Green Bay Church. We're not here all the time because we have others. We're trying to do what's happening here and at Valley Road and other places because I believe in the communityhood of the church. Because that's where health comes and where people want to be and where people will grow and become sound and strong and mature and satisfied in life. And cared for, by the way, because who we're grateful for, we will look after. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. I know we always preach that about giving and tithing, which is probably perfectly true. What I spend my money on, we used to say when we had checks, we didn't have checks in New Zealand, you know, checkbook. Anybody remember a check? You see, if I want to know where your priorities are, let me have a look at your checkbook. Kind of quiet in here, but but it's not just in money, my friends. It's in our heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, because giving is an act of gratitude, is it not? God loves a cheerful giver. You know, we can't actually do a formula here. I never tell people, you tithe, you give, and then God will, suddenly you'll wake up tomorrow and you've got 10 times as much in the mailbox. I don't really know that that works terribly well. We've been blessed very much because of the way we've chosen to live. I don't deny that at all, and it's a wonderful thing. But the thing is, my friends, it's an attitude of gratitude that lifts us beyond being mere consumers. You know, the world is full of consumers. When I was brought up, it is true, and my wife always tells me, never tell young people when I was a boy, because they get bored very quickly. I'm speaking to dads. But it's true. Things have changed, and it's important to realize the shifts that have gone on. New Zealand was one of the wealthiest countries in the world in literal day-to-day means 50, 60 years ago, and we still do very well in many ways. But, you know, there's something that went along with it that I remember. It was always a matter of remembering who you were. My dad always used to say when I went out as a teenager, remember you're a Martin. In other words, he's saying, and my dad was a gentleman. He was a fine man, better than I have ever been. I'm hoping to get more like him as I get older. But the thing is that he was reminding us it's more than just about your pleasure. It's how we used to live. And so taking veggies to the neighbor, that was everyday business. We never had fences. We kept the doors unlocked. It was easy. And this was how it was. We're taught to be responsible citizens, not just looking after my personal human rights. Human rights are great for people that are starving, but not so good if I want to do evil things. Are you with me? We don't have a human right over everything. Ultimately, only God has the right to direct my life. And so it was like that. So I'm not saying that to be sentimental, but to say that we were kind of taught more of a communal, nationwide responsibility. But nowadays, you see, it's get as much as you can for as least as you have to pay. People love something for free. I actually quite like paying. If somebody gives me something, it's a blessing. But I don't mind paying because I think this guy's going to get something in his business. He's going to be able to make a little profit and live a bit better. You know, I might have told you a story when I was up in Fiji and some tourist was there trying to negotiate with young Indian shopkeeper to get the price further and further down, because back then we used to barter for everything. You had to be good at it, otherwise you get ripped off. But this guy, he was on and on. He says, "You're trying to rip me off. You're a liar. You can do better than this." And here's I, an expatriate sort of thing. Well, it's not kind of my business, but I'd just become saved, and I was getting righteously angry. So in the end, I said, "Look, I think you've said enough." I said, "What this young man has offered you is a very good price. My advice is take it, buy it, and go back to Australia." But you see, the point is, people wanting to get something for nothing, and the poor guy's starving trying to sell it to you for nothing. But why are we like this? Why do we want something for nothing all the time? Why do we want something at somebody else's expense? Why is it? Because we've lost what it means to be a participator. I'm not saying we in this room. This is the problem we're facing. We are not consumers, my friends. We are participators. My pet cat was a consumer, and I know too many people who are just consumers, bleeding off the system, getting everything they can for nothing. And I'm sure there's times when people need help. I'm all for that. But you see, this is what will bring us into the presence of God, because now let's take it into this psalm again. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Only his people enter. Cats and dogs and consumers don't enter. Are you with me today? You see, it's actually quite simple, but an attitude of gratitude is a sure sign that we're his human creation. How he intended us to be. Because this is how it was with Adam and Eve before the fall. They got messed up by eating the bit of fruit. But if they'd never sinned, this is how it would be today. And so, my friends, this is why gratitude is such a wonderful thing, because we're now beginning to participate in the likeness of God. Even God gives thanks to himself. He created all these things and said, "It is good." If nobody else praises you, praise yourself. Take yourself out to dinner, as one preacher once said. An attitude of gratitude, my friends, lifts us. And that's my final word as I bring it to a close. Thanksgiving, gratitude elevates us. That's a good word to remember it on. And so if all you remember, remember that, will elevate us to become like he has originally created us to be. And that's all you need to do to enter his presence. Be like him. Because it's a divine union that he is after. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know if I did well with that or not, but it's a wonderful thing. And the more we go on, we find and we look at the small things, we give thanks for the small things. That's why, you know, when I got saved, and we'd been used to as a kid growing up in our church circles, I went away in my teenage years for many years, never darkened the door of the church for years and years. But we're brought up saying the grace, you know, for what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Amen. Every evening meal. And that was good, but it didn't mean too much to me at the time. But then I got saved. I gave my life to Jesus, and it was kind of, you might find this is a bit weird, but I thought it was a radical thing to find that I could give thanks for breakfast. And I did, and I still do. I could give thanks for lunch. And I did, and I still do. I can give thanks when I have a cup of coffee. And I still do. I can give thanks in the restaurant when everybody's watching, and I still do. Every moment is an opportunity, and if we just make it a formula for one moment of the day, we might miss the point. It's good to remind ourselves of the Lord's provision. It's good to remind ourselves that if it wasn't for the salvation that he's so freely wrought upon us, we could have been anywhere, maybe dead, maybe weird, maybe in prison, who knows where we'd be. I certainly wouldn't have all my lovely four kids and nine grandchildren all looking to the Lord Jesus. Or playing up here, by the way. Aren't you I'm thankful for you. And Jami, I'm just so glad. You must feel good as a dad. There's nothing makes you feel better. And so gratitude, my friends, is an attitude that is uniquely and singly human. And we are human beings. And to be a human, we should be, in the image of God, grateful. Amen? Why don't we stand, let me pray, and then I'll hand over to Dads or whoever's leading us in communion. And Ferdy? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this awesome moment. And even we continue our thanks as Brother Ferdy will come in a moment to lead us in that which has made it possible for us to enter into these things. But Lord, right now I just pray, my God, your blessing upon each one here. I pray, my Father, that the revelation of the heart of the Father would come upon each one. And gratitude would overtake criticism. Gratitude would overtake dissatisfaction. And gratitude would become the heart condition of every person here. Lord, we just declare in our hearts, we align our hearts with our brothers and sisters in this room. And we say, thank you, Lord. I thank you that these are my family. I thank you, Lord, these are my brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and uncles and aunties. We give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Brother Ferdy, please.